We'll start on page 1 in your bulletin. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Let us pray. Assist us mercifully with your help, O Lord God of our salvation, that we may enter with joy upon the contemplation of those mighty acts whereby you have given us life and immortality, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went on ahead, going to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethpage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked him, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it as he rode along. People kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right to praise you, Almighty God, for the acts of love by which you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. On this day, he entered the holy city of Jerusalem in triumph and was proclaimed as King of Kings by those who spread their garments and branches of palm along his way. Let these branches be for us signs of his victory, and grant that we who bear them in his name may ever hail him as our King and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life, who lives and reigns in glory with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Thank you.
Holy God, holy and mighty, holy immortal one. Let us pray. Everlasting God, in your endless love for the human race, you sent our Lord Jesus Christ to take on our nature and to suffer death on the cross. In your mercy, enable us to share in his obedience to your will and in the glorious victory of his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
Reading from Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn around. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. Have mercy on me, O Lord, neighbors, a dismay to my acquaintances. When they see me in the street, they avoid me. For I have heard the whispering of the crowd. Fear is all around. They put their heads together against me. They plot to take my life. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. A reading from Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And in being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man perverting and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king." Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered, "You say so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find Judea from Galilee, where he began even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at the time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time, because he heard about him and was hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod with his soldiers threatened him with contempt and mocked him. Then he put an elegant robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was perverting the people. And here I have examined him in your presence, and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." Then they all shouted out together, "Away with this fellow! Release Barabbas for us!" This was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city for murder. Pilate wanted to release Jesus, address them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify, crucify him." A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict, that their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over as they wished. As they seized him away, they seized the man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of the people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it's dry?" Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leader scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, "Certainly this man was innocent." And when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances, including the women who followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance and watch these things. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. Seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our second lesson from Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, verse 6, we hear who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. Christ, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. as something to be exploited. This week, Christians around the world will ponder both the cross and identity of Christ. And I believe this line in Philippians speaks volumes. The Greek word for exploited in some translations is robbery, seized, or plunder. Paul might be intentional in using such language that would have political and military connotations here. Christ did not regard equality with God as robbery. Christ did not regard equality with God as plunder. Christ is not exploiting anything here. So what could be some of those political and military ramifications and implications? Empires like Rome expand and dominate through plundering and robbing. They use their power, they use their might to exploit those that they are dominating and taking over. This is something that we would expect from leaders of empires and nations even to this day. Now we have in our lessons for Palm Passion Sunday an image of Jesus as king. But a king that has no interest in taking, robbing, plundering, exploiting anyone. A king with no desire makes no sense in the world that we live in. And quite frankly, it does not make sense to some Christians in our society today. Some Christians that thirst for the power of the empire to not lift up the image of Jesus that we see on Palm Passion Sunday, but to fashion a false image of Christ and a false way of Christ that is toxic, that promotes a broken kingdom of broken empires and governments that we have seen throughout history until the present day. Because the human desire to plunder is real. Because as economies like the Roman Empire dependent on what could be seized from war, we all might think today that we're living in a more civilized era in human history. But as I often say, the more things change, the more things stay the same. Because we live in a global and national economy that does exploit people. And I'm part of the problem. I contribute to this system to ensure that what I can purchase is lighter on my wallet. I got an Amazon Prime membership, right? That it's convenient for me, that I'm happy and satisfied. And that is in contrast and contradiction to Jesus' invitation of me to love my neighbor. And at best, I indirectly exploit them. I see them nothing more than just fulfillment centers of my happiness and convenience. This is the world that we live in. This is the kingdom and system of our time. Yet Jesus is showing us another way. Jesus wants nothing to do with the ways of this world. Christ, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited or as robbery or plunder. The world can feel at times like it is kill or be killed. Because we all got to do what we can do to protect ourselves. To climb up the ladder of society. To ensure that we won't be exploited or plundered. And if we are going to be exploited or plundered, we want to do what we can to keep it at a minimum, right? You see what we're trying to do in all this? We're trying to climb up the ladder in the world. But do you see what Jesus is doing in all this? We hear that in our second lesson. But he emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. And he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. As we're trying to climb up the ladder of this broken world, Jesus is descending and willing to be plundered for our sake. We're looking for God and God's kingdom in all the wrong places. We're looking up when we should be looking down. We're looking at the powerful and we should be looking at the weak. We're looking at the rich when we should be looking at the poor. And if we're too busy climbing up the ladder to protect ourselves, and at the same time to ensure that we get a piece of the plundering and exploitation of this world, then we're not focused on following the way of Jesus, who is our Lord and King. Yet even in our neglecting of Christ in our midst, even in our plundering of Christ, our Lord keeps turning to us and inviting us to follow his way that leads to new life and salvation, to model his way. Praise God that our Lord did not regard. Praise God that our Lord emptied himself. Praise God that our Lord humbled himself. The only way to save the world from itself was to reverse course, and that's precisely what Jesus does for us through the cross. There is no hope for us in our attempts to climb up the ladder of this broken world, which is why through the cross Jesus had to climb down. Which is why through the incarnation and the cross, Jesus lets go of his status. He lets go of his status and descends so low for our sake. God, who is fully man and fully human, goes so low for our sake, and it's in that poverty that he embodies, that is now crucified on the cross for the sake of the world, so that all might have life through him. And so in our conviction through the law, we know we participate in a system that we cannot escape, but the way of our King is here. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shows us a way of the cross in which we are called to follow because we are now part of God's new creation in Jesus Christ. While we are still sinners, while we are still perpetrators and casualties to a diabolical system, we can still serve as signposts of God's kingdom that has come near. We can offer a glimpse of heaven on earth. Because our focus isn't to climb up that ladder anymore. It's to be like Christ and to descend down, to be at the bottom of the ladder. So that when people fall off that ladder, we can share the love of Jesus with them. We can love and serve them with no desire to exploit or plunder, but to love and serve and build them up. When people are convicted and realize the guilt, shame, and responsibility that they have, in really participating and actively destroying others in this world, we can hear their confession. We can be quick to offer a word of forgiveness in the name of our crucified King and Lord, who by his mercy has made us new. We can do this when we follow Christ and are standing at the bottom of the ladder. The cross is essential to the understanding of the good news of heaven on earth. The cross is essential in understanding our mission as the church. As the body of Christ, may we too empty ourselves. May we always seek to climb down that ladder to minister to all people who are longing to receive a new way and a new life that Christ has won for us through his death and resurrection. This week, as we ponder the cross, may we always turn our attention to our neighbor and seek to build them up in a world that seeks to tear them down. And may we hear the good news of Jesus Christ that came into a world that tore him down but did not have the final word or say. For as we follow the way of Jesus, the cross and empty tomb gives us love, life, and hope in a new world that is here and that is to come. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Drawn close to the heart of God, we offer these prayers for the church, the world, and all who are in need. We pray for the church, called to follow Jesus in the way of the cross. Make us unflinching servants of the gospel. Deliver us from hardship as we confront the forces of injustice and practice radical compassion. Merciful God. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and dean, all pastors, deacons, our Stephen's ministry, and all who minister in Christ. And for all the holy people of God. Merciful God. For the earth and all its inhabitants, created in love, train us to recognize your divine goodness in the world around us. Rouse in us a reverence for creation, that we take greater care of its resources. Merciful God. For those in positions of authority, called to lead with integrity and compassion, supply them with courage and vulnerability when challenged with new ideas. Deliver them from fear that limits imagination and impedes justice. Merciful God. For all victims of war, especially the people of Ukraine, may the cross be a reminder of perpetual innocent lives taken by evil, and may we have hope in the power of the cross and the courage to stand in solidarity with victims. Merciful God. For those who suffer, waiting expectantly for mercy and consolation, accompany those who feel abandoned or betrayed, defend those who are wrongly accused, and embrace those who are incarcerated or detained. Heal those who are ill, especially Tracy, Vincent, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Stan, Barb, Jasmine, Pete, Nadine, Cheryl, Barb, Lucas, Ruth, John, Barb, Leah, Carol, and our homebound. Merciful God. For Christians around the world preparing this week to journey with Jesus to the cross, reveal to us once again the earth-shaking power of humble service, unmerited forgiveness, and sacrificial love. Lead us all from death to life. Merciful God. Holy God, we pray for those in our armed services, especially Cade, Michael, Luke, and their chaplains. Merciful God. We remember those who have died, especially Mikhail Agricola, who are commended into your hands. Remember us when you come into your kingdom and prepare a place for each of us with you in paradise. Merciful God.
Accept the prayers we bring, O God, on behalf of a world in need. For the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace. You may be seated for the offering. That was like a force of habit.
Let us pray. God, our provider, you have not fed us with bread alone, but with words of grace and life. Bless us and these your gifts, which we receive from your bounty, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Blessed are you, O God of the universe, your mercy is everlasting and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise you for your spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ is alive. Christ is risen. Christ is will
come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun, moon, and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. This time I'd call forward communion assistants and anyone who's going to participate in children's church today. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated host. There will be two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, that will be on the pulpit side. An usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Just receive a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. Thank you. the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Thank you.
Go in peace. Remember the poor.